Will you pray with me? God, once again, startle us with the power and the depth and the intensity of your word. Give our hearts and minds understanding, and may hope fill our ears, and may meaning fill our hearts through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, I do want to briefly share two passages with you that are a little bit of background for the gospel reading this morning. First one's very familiar, very brief, Genesis 1, 1 and 2. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. The second one's from Psalm 104, verses 25 and 26. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. Creeping things innumerable are there, living things both small and great. There go ships, and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season, and when you give to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. And that is all background for the fifth chapter of Luke. Let's read that beginning with verse 1. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of our Lord. Rick and I love boating. Through the years, we have owned about 3 different little boats. But have you ever trailered a boat? He's already laughing. That's something we tried to avoid through the years. We tend to keep our boat in a slip at the marina at the lake, or in Corpus Christi, we were fortunate enough to live right on the water, and we kept a little boat tied up at the dock behind our house. But occasionally, boats do have to come out of the water and be trailered to one place or another for repairs and such. And we were quite the team getting a boat in and out of the water, or off or on a trailer. Let's face it, Rick grew up on Lake St. Clair, and I grew up in Oklahoma City. My job on one such occasion, when we needed to get a boat on a trailer and out of the water, was very simple. Rick lined the trailer up with a boat ramp. All I had to do was slowly back straight into the water, and then when the boat floated free of the trailer, all I had to do is pull straight ahead and park the truck and trailer and meet Rick at the dock where he would pick me up. The backing up part went just fine, but I did get the rear tires of the truck wet. In fact, the whole area was already wet because several people had already brought their boats in out of the water that morning. So when it came time to pull forward, my tires began to spin. And I thought for a few seconds that I was going slipping backwards on the wet pavement. And I just put the brakes on and stopped and took a deep breath and gently tried again. And I went nowhere. and other people were waiting to use the ramp. And I briefly reviewed everything that I knew and had heard about escaping a sinking vehicle, a vehicle we had borrowed from a dear friend. And then the third time, I took one more deep breath and just tried to inch forward, and for some reason, I found traction. And I pulled into the parking spot straight ahead of me, and I gathered my composure, and I locked up the truck, and I met Rick on the boat, and he never said a word, which was a very, very wise choice on his part. And from then on, I was on the boat, and Rick dealt with a vehicle on the wet boat ramp. Jesus said, push the boat out into the water. Our text from Luke's gospel this morning is really quite rich. Jesus' reputation had been growing, and people were starting to follow him wherever he went. He had healed some people. He'd been teaching in synagogues, and people were curious about him. And it was still early in Jesus' ministry. He had not yet called any of his disciples. Crowds were now following him, even as he went to Gennesaret, which is, by the way, just another name for the Sea of Galilee. It's much like one of our larger lakes. It's a place of recreation, but mostly it was a place of commerce. It was an important place, and the crowd probably grew as he approached the water. Well, Jesus devised a very clever crowd control method: get on a boat. And on this day, he chose the boat of a fisherman named Simon. A man who had spent the entire night on his boat fishing was now on shore cleaning his nets. Push that boat out a little bit, Jesus said to Simon. And Simon agreed and pushed the boat out just far enough from the shore that Jesus could speak to the crowds without being overwhelmed by them. And Jesus sat down, like anyone with any good boat sense would do, and taught the crowds. Interestingly, Luke gives us no information about what Jesus said or any information about how the crowd responded to his teaching, because that's not why Luke includes this in his gospel. There's a couple of other reasons that Luke includes this story in his gospel. This is the first record in the gospel of Jesus and Simon meeting, and that's a landmark moment. But then there is this. The Simon Jesus encountered at that moment was a very tired man who'd been fishing all night and had caught little or nothing. That's not just bad luck. It means no income for him or his family. Jesus looked at a tired, discouraged man and said, push that boat out a little way for me. And very soon, he was going to say to this tired stranger, put out into the deep. So we need to stop right there for a moment and think about water. Every time we find water in the New Testament, we need to remember some things about the significance of water in our Old Testament, because that's what Luke expects his readers to do. So we read from the first two verses of Genesis, in which God's Spirit, at the very beginning of the creative process, hovered over the face of the deep, the dark, chaotic abyss from which God will eventually draw life forth. That primeval deep water, that abyss, in the literature of the Old Testament is both life-giving and it's frightening. It's mysterious, it's threatening, and it's also the source of all the material for God's creation. It contains the things that the Old Testament writers know they don't completely understand. And the Old Testament writers refer to the creatures and the powerful forces associated with vast bodies of water by giving everything they don't understand this metaphorical name, Leviathan. Leviathan is everything about the great deep waters of the world that humans did not understand. So the psalmist says, yonder is the sea, great and wide, creeping things innumerable are there, living things both great and small, and there go the ships and Leviathan that you formed to sport in it. The word that Jesus uses when he turns to that weary fisherman and says, put out into the deep, is not the simple word for water or lake. Instead, it's the word for abyss. Simon, go to the abyss. Go to that primeval place. Go to the mysterious dark place. Go where one might encounter Leviathan. Go to the dark, mysterious, churning waters, because God brings life out of deep waters. The miracle here is that Simon goes there. He takes a total stranger out into dangerous deep waters, and he puts down those nets that had gone empty the night before, and something begins to churn. The boat begins to list with the weight of the nets. They're full, much fuller than Simon had ever anticipated. He called out to his business partners, James and John, on the shore, and they rush out with their boat to help him bring in that great catch. Simon's response to all of this new life flopping around in the boats around him was not what we would expect of one that Jesus will someday name Rock. Simon says, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. And that was an honest response. It was a response filled with awe. It was a very human response. After all, as we come to know Simon, who Jesus will call Peter, we find he has this tendency to speak first and think later. So Jesus pretty much ignores what Simon says and stays right there with him in the boat. And as they looked each other in the eye on a boat barely floating over the dark abyss and surrounded by creatures of the deep, Jesus says, do not be afraid. And Jesus goes one step further and commissions Simon right then and there. From now on, you will be catching people. Then Luke tells us they all row to the shore, and Simon and James and John leave everything, leave the boats, leave the nets, leave the fish, leave their families, and follow Jesus. Encounters with Jesus often come in times and places that feel abysmal. They feel dangerous and chaotic. Here in our boat, our sanctuary, at least geographically speaking, we could not be much farther from those deep, chaotic waters. But chaos follows us onto land, and Leviathan has been known to inhabit the Great Plains. Luke's account of those deep waters of Gennesaret is written to show us that when we're afraid, Jesus is with us, even now. When he calls us to do the difficult thing, the thing that may at first seem senseless, when he tells us to put out to the abyss and the boat begins to tilt, he does not leave us. He stays with us. And God sometimes calls us to take a chance, to encounter the mysterious, to go someplace we've never been before, to hover in the company of the Holy Spirit over chaotic waters, to try something new. But God does not abandon us there. We must remember that Jesus came to these men in a most difficult moment. They were tired and discouraged and probably worried about their business. Jesus does that over and over in the Gospels. He finds the person who's desperate and hopeless, someone stuck in a cycle of life they feel they can't change, or unable to escape a past, or even escape the present that feels like the only path that they have. Jesus helps them to understand that they are not the labels humans have placed on them. They're not lepers or prostitutes or sinners. They are actually God's beloved, and their lives can be different, and hope can be renewed. And we are not the labels people slap on us. We're not lazy or slow. We're not gifted or talented. We're not rich or poor. We're not even Republicans or Democrats. We are God's beloved. Jesus comes to people with an important mission, not at the times when we're ready or we're willing to follow, but when we feel the most tired and hopeless and strung out. In this story, the fishermen have struggled all night and caught nothing. And just as these fishermen were about to hang up their nets and go home, Jesus enters and asks Simon to push one of those boats away from the beach. As the church, as individuals, we get tired and discouraged, and we want to hang it all up. And just about the time we do, Jesus comes along and says, push that boat out a little way. And then he says, let's put out in the deep. But he is in the boat. And God's Spirit is hovering over the waters beneath. And God's Spirit is still in the business of bringing new life. Because from the mysterious and the dangerous, the Spirit is able to bring new life. There's been a great deal of conversation about the future of the church, the church with a capital C. Certainly, we face significant change in the future, but that change will bring to us meaning and help us to be more relevant to the world in which we live. And in our lives as individuals, we all face change and uncertainty. So if you're tired, you're not alone. If you're uncertain, remember that Jesus is with you. And if you're looking for a way forward, remember that Christ has invited you to push the boat out a little farther, and that he will be with you in the boat. And there, we find hope and new life and a future beyond our imagining. Thanks be to God. Amen.